Promise 24. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Matthew 5:3-12. I've often noticed that sermons about these words, the Beatitudes, tend to focus on their middle clause, the spiritual protagonist of each state of blessedness. So over 8 or 9 weeks, a pastor might cleverly extrapolate upon the meaning of being poor in spirit, meek, one of the peacemakers, pure in heart, which, let's be honest, can end up feeling like a laundry list for a number of ways you aren't. Another reminder that the so-called Christian life is very different seeming from the one you're living. There's nothing better than finishing a book or sermon series feeling fairly convinced that there's no practical way you're ever going to be able to do what's been described, right? Nothing like that feeling of, well, then why try? So let's take a different approach. Why are the people described by Jesus here so blessed? Is it because they set out to be a such and such sort of person, or because of what they now receive? Did a man, woman, or child strive to be a person who mourns because they expected something, some reward for it? Probably not. Are people getting out of bed and trying to be persecuted for righteousness' sake because they're excited about the back end, their spiritual bottom line in this? Frankly, I hope not. Instead, consider Jesus' words here in the manner that makes them understandable. Then we'll circle back to make the promise in all this far more clear. So listen. Blessed are those who possess the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who will be comforted. Blessed are those who will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who will be satisfied. Blessed are the ones who will receive mercy. Blessed are those who will see God. Blessed are those who will be called sons of God. Blessed again are those who possess the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who may rejoice and be glad, because their reward in heaven is great, for they've been treated like the prophets of old. Do you see how clearly the blessedness of those blessings now actually starts to sound like a series of clear blessings? If you look at the ending of each statement, you find the destination where Jesus lands each person described in the Beatitudes. So now let's look at those middle clauses, shall we? Slowly, I'm going to read for you the descriptions Jesus gives of the type of person who will be blessed in that above manner. You've heard these many a time, I know that. But I want you to listen again and think of who precisely each of these sound like. Listen. Poor in spirit. Ready to mourn alongside of. Meek, gentle. Hungry and thirsty for righteousness. Merciful, full of mercy. Pure in heart. A peacemaker, a literal fashioner of peace. One persecuted for the sake of righteousness. One reviled, persecuted, and against whom all kinds of evil were uttered. Does any of that sound strangely familiar? My friends, what is so glorious about the promise of the Beatitudes is that that central position, that middle clause, is none other than Jesus himself. He is poor in spirit, humble-hearted in the eyes of God and man. He is hungry and thirsty to see the righteousness of heaven alive upon earth. He is the one whose heart is full of mercy for all. He is the peacemaker whose own body and blood paid the price to end the war of wars. So, if you and I possess ourselves of the presence, experience, person, and personality of Jesus of Nazareth, we possess the Beatitudes. We get to inherit the kingdom of heaven. We find ourselves contented, perfectly satisfied. We get to receive the wondrous mercy of heaven. We have the opportunity today to live and love and be and become the sons and daughters of God. The promise offered up throughout the Beatitudes is the promise that we shall inherit all the beautiful, beatific blessednesses that Jesus speaks of. How? By being ourselves perfect? By figuring out how to slide into that middle clause slot? By somehow perfectly gaming the system and figuring out ways to unexpectedly become something totally different than we are ourselves? Well, how's that gone for you so far? No. The perfect promise of Jesus in his speaking of his Beatitudes is that by abiding in him, he comes and lives this life in us. No longer do we operate under a system of religious law where all our lives is given to perfectly understanding and obeying one overall law. We follow this man, the one who says, "Abide in me, and I will abide in you." The one whose natural nature is everything offered in the course of the Beatitudes. The one whose living of that life in us is the bridge between the blessed and the blessednesses. My friends, today's promise is possession of the Beatitudes. Today, in Jesus.